Mark with Christianity Explored for the next 8 weeks or so. And so the leaders of Christianity Explored have recommended everybody who's involved in going through this study, read through the Gospel of Mark at least twice before you get going. And so I don't know if you have lately. How many of you have done that yet? Has anybody read through? A handful of you have. That's great. Read it again. And the reason I say that is we so often become quite familiar with these stories in Scripture that we simply fail to be stunned, don't we? We have read them again and again, and we just are not standing in awe of who this is all about. This is about Jesus. And that's my prayer this morning, is that we would simply be able to, by the power of His Spirit, simply be stunned by who Jesus is and refreshed at the power of His authority. Let me pray. Father, we're about to celebrate a taster dinner, as we have called it, on allowing people to get a little sample of what Christianity Explored is about, so that they would continue for the Tuesday nights, 8 or 7 of them, the next 7 in a row. Lord, I pray that today, as we have this passage before us speaking about Jesus, may you once again let us taste the goodness, the awe, the power, and the stunning authority of your Son. We need your help, Holy Spirit. We need to be refreshed. We need to be in awe once again. We need to be reminded of your power and your authority. For Lord, we do have an enemy who will rise up at any moment. And Lord, I ask that through your Spirit, you would refresh our hearts once again to, as it was in the beginning when we first fell in love with you, that first love, would you let some embers of your Spirit fan up into flame, flames of excitement and flames of courage, that we would be wonderfully enthusiastic messengers for the goodness of who Jesus is. Let us be attractive, please, in our enthusiasm for the name and the fame of Jesus. It's in his name I pray. Amen. You know, when you look at your Bible, you see Mark. You turn to that passage, and we'll be in chapter 1 today if you want to hold your Bibles open. But you'll see most Bibles will say, this is the gospel according to Mark. It's good news. And I think sometimes we forget that. We get caught up in all the rules, perhaps, or the burdens or commands. I'm not quite sure. And we just get lost in the fact that this is good news. We forget what we have that we have been entrusted with. The gospel is good news, and we ought to be people who are excited about sharing the good news of the gospel. And this simply means the good news of the gospel of Mark. Simply means the biography of Jesus' life according to Mark. It's Mark's recounting of the events of Jesus' life. It's a person who was impacted by Jesus, and so he gets right to the point. This is about Jesus. This is one of the reasons why we chose Christianity Explored to do this, is it's about one life. You've seen the banner on the side of the building. There's one life. What's it all about? That is interesting because it sort of has a play on words. You can apply that to Jesus. One life. It's his life. What was he all about? But we also have one life. And what is our lives all about? Is there meaning in our lives? And is there a sense of significance to what we're doing and what we're about? This is all about Jesus. And Mark, in very concise terms, it's the shortest gospel. It's the briefest. If you want to get one account for Jesus' life, you can probably sit down in 2 hours and read this, I think. We have little gospel, Christianity Explored versions of the Gospel of Mark that we have purchased that we want to be able to give out to people. And it's small and tiny. And I think you look at it, you think, I can read that in no time. And it's true. So if you have not refreshed your memory with all the events of Jesus' life, I invite you to do so. But Mark jumps right in. It's John Mark, probably who this is. And so we get straight away as he begins to follow Jesus' life. He jumps right in. And you find these incredible words in verse 17. Jesus is speaking to Peter and the other disciples. And he says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. That sort of describes the essence of the purpose of Jesus' life. He was seeking the lost. He was after the hearts of mankind, men and women who were lost and didn't know him. That's what he's about. And so he's inviting others to join him. And that's exactly what we're doing. We want to be on mission with Jesus. We want to do exactly what he was doing. We want to seek and save the lost. And so come and join us and jump in. Mark is one of those writers. He doesn't offer much prefatory information. He simply gets straight to the point. And what we see as we read these verses is we're stunned by the power and the authority of Jesus. Mark goes straight away as in verse 21, Jesus begins his teaching ministry. They went to Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and he began teaching. As you read through Mark, you will see immediately again and again and again. It's 9 times in this first chapter, 42 times in the whole gospel. Mark has a sense of urgency about him. He knows Jesus came and it was a powerful effect of his life. Jesus made a difference in the lives of the people who were around him. And he goes straight away and begins teaching. And one thing that is shocking here is everyone is stunned by Jesus' teaching. As he steps onto the public stage of his ministry, he begins to speak, everyone takes note. They were astonished, verse 22, they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one with authority, not as the scribes. There was a kind of authority about Jesus that everyone instantly noted. He was a speaker who did not speak in secondhand terms or handed down stories that had been related to him. He spoke with authority as though he knew what he was talking about. Everyone noticed this because that distinguished him from all of the other teachers. They've never heard anybody who talked like Jesus. He's not like all the other guys. So he caught their attention. I pray that we would be caught with the attention of what Jesus does here today in a couple of ways. His authority is demonstrated over demons and over diseases and over in and through his teaching. And so we see he caught their attention. Immediately, something happens. Isn't this the case? Jesus is teaching. The crowds have been astonished. And what's the next thing that happens? A demon-possessed guy shouts out and disturbs the service. Do you know the devil goes to church? He does. I know some of you are thinking, I thought I recognized that guy. He does. Demons show up at moments when God is at work. This will happen in your life. When there are focused times of spiritual intensity, you will find demonic opposition. We just finished 40 days of prayer. Today's the last day. I don't know how many of you, I've heard it from you. How many of you have sensed acute attacks during these days? We have to be ready for the attack of the enemy. For it happens at any time. Any time you are making intentions of drawing nearer to the Lord, you will find demonic activity. You will find opposition. You will find an enemy who rises up against you. And we have to be aware of this. And I was praying for an illustration at this point throughout the week. I couldn't really find any until last night. I went out for a run about 8. It was nice and dark. And I stepped out. I was out to the side of the house. And I was trying to figure out what I was going to listen to while I was running. And I've got these earmuffs. It was like 19 degrees that have little speakers inside them. And I heard something. And I thought, did I accidentally push the play button? And I pulled out my earmuffs away. And I heard something off behind me, off in the woods, towards the corner of the yard. And I listened again. And it was coyotes. Yipping and howling, and they were on the other side of the neighbor's house that sort of catty-cornered to us. And do you think I woke up then? Is anybody about to go out for a run, and you got some company coming along with you in the form of coyotes? And it made me think. Constantly we have, lurking in the darkness, demonic oppression and a devil who would seek to destroy and keep us riddled with fear, right? It's exactly what the devil wants you to do. Keep you incapacitated with fear. You don't want to talk about Jesus to people. They might get offended any number of ways. I couldn't see the coyote. I stood there and looked. And I turned my headlamp and tried to get them focused on where they were. I couldn't see them, but I could hear them. I knew they were there. We have an enemy. He is there, and at very critical moments, as we see something significant happen, this guy shouts out right in the middle of Jesus' teaching, and he says, "What have you to do with us, Jesus?" Verse 23. "Jesus of Nazareth." He knows him, doesn't he? He knows him. "Have you come to destroy us? And I know who you are, the Holy One of God." The devil will seek to destroy everything that God is doing. But what the devil seeks to destroy, Jesus gloriously redeploys. This moment, I'm sure this demon is trying to distract and cause fear in everyone who's around by stirring up the mix and demonstrating a power, right? Demons were powerful. They are. And here, Jesus, what's he going to do? First time public speaking, at least from Mark's point of view that we see, how will he respond? And maybe this demon is thinking, I've got him, right? The people are going to be terrified. Everyone will be filled with fear. And what do we see Jesus do? Verse 25, "Be silent and come out." The unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out. They were all amazed, and so they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even unclean spirits, and they obey him?" His fame spread. Jesus is able to do that. Moments when the enemy is trying to distract and destroy and cause fear, Jesus is able to capture those very moments and turn it into a display of his power and his authority. In your life, do not be paralyzed by the fear of the enemy, but stand in awe of the power and the authority of Jesus. Trust in him. Ask him to speak into those situations of your life, and don't give in. If fear is something that you struggle with, whatever it is, if it's fear of what people will think or talking about Jesus or fear of offending or whatever it is, don't let the devil use that to keep you silent, right? It's them who should be silent. Jesus says to the demon, "Be silent, be quiet, and come out." He has no choice but to obey. He cannot. The demon does not have the power to disobey. He is standing in front of someone who commands and he obeys. And so he screams, he convulses the guy, and he's pretty ticked off, right? "I have to leave. I have to be quiet." And so out he goes. And what happens? Everyone is utterly amazed. And they say, "What is this? We have not seen anything like this." It's exactly what I'm praying for as we enter into Christianity Explored. I'm praying that God would do such a supernatural work that people who come, and remember, this is for the next 7 weeks. We've been emphasizing the 11th and now the 25th. Keep praying that people would continue to come every Tuesday night for the next 8 weeks. We have an opportunity to introduce people to this Jesus, the Jesus who commands demons and speaks. That means Jesus is the Lord of all. He is the King of Kings. Be in awe of his power and authority, because the devils have to flee. When Jesus offers a command, his authority is go. So there's no cloud of darkness which needs overshadow your life. You are not enslaved. If you're a child of God, you need not be defined by any or enslaved by any habit or any personal pattern of thinking or any traumatic fear in your life. There's none of that that need dominate your life. Do not live under the attack of the enemy by giving him ground and giving him a voice in your life. We serve this Jesus, the Gospel of Mark, who would say to your life, whatever is paralyzing you spiritually or emotionally or physically, this Jesus would say, "Be quiet and be gone." And I would ask you today, is there something you wish he would say that to in your life? Is there something in your life that you feel trapped by or wrapped up with or bound by? Ask the Lord right now in your heart. Say, "Jesus, say that in my life. Get rid of that. Here it is. This is what it is for me. And I need you to speak into my life." This, the authority of this Jesus, the same Jesus today who has risen and conquered demons and devils and every foe that we would face. This is the Jesus who we stand before today. Stand and be amazed at who he is and his authority. These crowds were. Oh, how I wish he could come in here and stand before us and it would have the same effect on us. But Jesus told his disciples, it's good that I go away because I'm going to send my spirit to you. And it's better that he should come. So I'm trusting the Lord through the power of his spirit this morning. If he needs to do a work in our lives, it's better that he is seated at the right hand of power and authority and that his spirit is here among us today. Because I believe there are many of us who need this kind of work in our life. Anybody? You have a cloud of oppression in your life. You have a burden that you seem not to be able to get out from under. I don't have to defend Jesus' power. I don't have to perform tricks and manipulate you in any way. Jesus is quite capable of doing miracles without me saying a word. And so I'm asking you, trust him. Will you pray and say, whatever it is, help me. I need help. We're going to have the prayer team over here after the service if you want someone to pray for you. Don't go out of here fighting alone. This is why we're here as a church. We're here to fight together on our knees, and don't let pride keep you isolated and alone from this request for help. Ask him, speak into my life, get somebody to come alongside of you, because his power and authority exists over demons as well as diseases, which is where we go next. Jesus has thus demonstrated his power and authority among his people in the synagogue, and as soon as they finish leaving the synagogue, verse 29, immediately, again, there it is, that word, immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. It's nice to know Jesus had close friends. Simon's mother was sick with a fever, and immediately they told him. I guess evidently what they saw would convince them, I think he can help here. That power and authority I just heard about in teaching can make a real difference. Let's tell Jesus. And what happens? Immediately they told him, verse 31, and he came, and he took her by the hand, and he lifted her up. The fever left her. That is incredibly sweet. No fancy fanfare kind of long incantations or long elaborate prayers. It's just, he grabs her hand without a word and he lifts her up. Does anybody need the Lord Jesus to reach in your life and lift you up? He can. This is the same Lord Jesus who can do that. This is him. He is alive this very day and there's nothing that he cannot do. He grabs her by the hand. He lifts her up without speaking one word. That's power. That's authority. That's grace. And that is love. And Holy Spirit can grant that to each of us this morning. And you might ask the question, as I did when I got to this point, I think, should we be expecting this kind of thing? Is it foolish of us to think that Jesus would heal? Because there are a lot of people who would say these kinds of gifts were done away with the apostles, that they have ceased to be exercised in the body of God's people. And I just can't agree with that. I don't believe that healings have stopped. I have personally experienced healing. I have lived it with my wife who was healed. I've seen it happen. I know this Jesus, this powerful, authoritative Jesus, can heal. And we have commands in Scripture that says, ask for it. I think of James chapter 5. Is any of you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil, and let him be healed. Right? Come and ask is the invitation here. Certainly, Jesus does not heal at every time we ask. And yet, I wonder, would we not see more of what God does and more demonstration and more power and more authority if there was more asking? Certainly God's will sometimes is that we suffer. You know this. We should not see suffering all the time as a sense that God is against us. For there is some suffering that happens according to the will of God. 1 Peter 4:19. Let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. There are biblical examples when it was God's will that his people, whom he loved, suffered. Paul's the clearest example. Much of God's nature had been revealed to Paul. And he had a thorn in the flesh. He had a physical ailment. He had a problem, a physical problem. And he went to the Lord. 3 times he begged and pleaded, God, take this away. You read those agonizing prayers? And what was the Lord's answer? No. I want you to endure this. My grace will be more than your physical ailment to you. And Paul tells us, here's the reason why. God gave me that thorn in the flesh so that I would not be too conceited because of the revelations that I had seen. Which means sometimes God works a humbling in our lives through suffering. There are godly purposes that can be worked out through suffering. So he doesn't always eliminate every kind of suffering. He uses suffering for his purposes. And yet, we're invited to come and ask to be healed. So come and ask. And I wonder, would we see more of God at work if it was more asking? And I think, is it our case, like we read of Jesus when he returned to his hometown of Nazareth? You remember he went back, this is just a few chapters ahead in Mark. He went back to his hometown. And the Bible says that he could do no mighty work there, except heal a few people. You have to think, what does that mean? Well, I think it's very clear what it means. It means not many people came to Jesus. They just didn't believe in him. They didn't trust him. It wasn't as though his inherent power is somehow diminished by a lack of faith, because Jesus, who is who he is, whether we believe it or not, he is powerful, he is authoritative, and yet he did heal some people. Some came. It means just not many. And I think, why not ask? Let's see what the Lord would do. Let's go to him. Let's obey those commands. He exercises his power over demons. See him exercise his power over diseases. And we know not everyone will be healed. But good grief, when God tells us to come and ask, let's ask him. Let's see what the Lord will do. See if we can see his power. And then, as if to restate it and make sure we got the point, look at verses 32. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick and oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. It's very uncomfortable, isn't it? God's power being unleashed in ways that caused the whole city to come knocking at the door. Would that that was a problem we had. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons, and he would not permit them to speak. We serve a Savior who can give a word and every demon in hell obeys it. He says, come out of him. It happens immediately. He says, I'll take you by the hand and lift you up and that fever will be gone. Let us look to him. Let us trust him. And if you ever wonder, you ever meet somebody who's really successful and powerful, or very influential, or incredibly rich, and you always wonder how they do it. You ever wonder? How does that happen? Where does his charisma come from? Or where does all the wealth come from? Or how does he make it in the world? What's his secret? What's the source of all his power and authority? You ever wonder, what's Jesus' secret? If you could ask that question. You know the Pharisees did. The last week of his life, they came to him and said, what's the source of your authority, and by whose authority are you doing all that you're doing? You want to know what's the source of Jesus' power in his life? The very next verse, verse 35. Rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out into a desolate place, and there he prayed. Jesus spent time with his Father, uncomfortably long times with his Father. For the disciples came saying, Jesus, where have you been? Don't you know everybody's looking for you? Come on, man, get with it. And Jesus is off praying. I think that's an invitation for us to spend long, uncomfortably long times in prayer, to go to him, pour out your soul, and see if the Lord will not choose to work. He is the Savior. He's a sovereign Savior who is authoritative over demons, over diseases, over death. Death, he died once, he'll never die again. And John says, if we trust in him, then we will get to experience eternal life too. Do you stand in awe of him? Don't let these facts that are so familiar to us inoculate us to his wonder and his power and his authority and his grace. And that's my simple encouragement today. Is this something new? Is this a new authority and a new power, a new teaching? It's old to us. Many of us have heard these stories all our lives, and I pray that the Lord would let this be fresh and new once again, that this would be a new kind of teaching. It'd be a new prayer in our lives. And if you need prayer today, please don't leave. Don't be afraid to ask. We'll keep it as confidential and private as we need to. We can pray over here. We've got a prayer room over there. We can go in another conference room if you want somebody to pray with you. Prayer team will be available for us to pray. And I would just ask you, let's come to this mighty, sovereign Savior and ask him to do wonders among us for the sake of his name, so that his fame would spread throughout all of this region. Right? This is how Jesus ended. He said, guys, I need to be going and preaching. I need to go from this town to the next. I need to move on. Some of us in our walk with the Lord, we need to move on from being comfortable with where we are, quiet and alone with Jesus and not being too risky. We need to move on and say, Jesus, come do something crazy, wonderful, out of control, whole town knocking on the door kind of wildness for the sake of your glory, of your name. That's what we need to pray for. And I pray that the Lord would indeed make it happen through Christianity Explored and through faithful, bold witnesses of every one of us. Let's pray together.